strong while I'm going and I'm striving. I'm relying on myself for as long as I'm surviving. Yeah. Taking no excuses because your words are just useless. What? Kick off the dust and let's do this.
Hello and welcome to Remedy, A Human Awakening, a forum where we discuss the challenges we face as humans navigating today's fast-paced modern society.
All right, well, here we are. And it's just me, myself, and I again. Yeah, so life is full of changes, and change is good. And so the next evolution for the podcast will be me figuring out where I want to go with this, how I want to move forward with my thoughts on stuff. So my buddy Corey and I, we started this together. Kind of a long story, so I'll spare you the boring details. But it was an idea that we had that he helped me execute. He helped get all this set up. He helped set the file sharing thing. And so he has some expertise in that. And I'm truly, truly grateful for him for doing that. And then as with life and the way things go, it got busy for him and busier. He's trying to better himself and learn some new skills and stuff. So he's incredibly busy at work and then incredibly busy with that. And then on top of that, his kids in soccer and stuff like that. So life gets too busy for some of these type of pursuits, and I totally understand that. So it's been my podcast all along that he and I were doing together, but I own the equipment. Well, once we bought the equipment, once we stopped being tethered to each other via his phone, I made an investment in some equipment that I'll continue to use this, and we'll use it for a bunch of other stuff. And so the podcast for me is something that is, well, to finish that thought up, you're going to get to hear my ramblings tonight. I'm incredibly grateful to Corey for having got me through the first many episodes, having helped with all of this, having helped set up the logistics and getting all of that done and helping bring an amazing point of view to the show. So thank you for that. I am sure that in the future we'll continue to have him on the show as his schedule allows, as a guest and whatnot. So, but you know, like, personally, my goal for the podcast is number one, and I've told him this now recently, is to do the work. Where it goes in the future, that remains to be seen. I have some ideas. I have some thoughts. We'll see if they play out. And at different times, this has taken on different flavors. Obviously, those of you that follow us and listen have known that I've had my daughter on here a couple times, and that's been amazing. And I'm sure I'll have my wife on here and different people that I know and that can add stuff there. But one of the things I've been thinking of is having a segment that we call Uncomfortable Conversations, and having people on there with, we'll call, like, opposing viewpoints or different viewpoints than me, or if I had another guest. And I think at this point in life and things that we all need to start having some uncomfortable conversations with people that don't share our worldview, and figuring out where our common ground is and whatnot. So that's something that I really am kind of interested in exploring. We'll see how and when I can pull that off. I have a whole list of topics I do want to talk about in the coming future. So that's kind of the evolution of the podcast. I just have some ideas. And so, you know, would love for people hit us up and share some of those ideas and thoughts and stuff. There's many ways that this can go, and we'll see where it goes. I think time will tell. But the big thing is I'm committed to doing it. We'll still be out on an every 2 week schedule. And my next course would be trying to get it out once a week. And then after that, adding a video element, which, is currently in the works at some point very, very soon. I have some equipment that just showed up for another project I'm doing. And, yeah, so that's my rambling on that topic. And, that's why you won't hear Corey with us regularly, moving forward. We wish him the best of luck on all that stuff. He's got a very full plate, and I know he's going to kill it. He's an amazing human being, and I truly appreciate his friendship and partnership on this. But now it's all me, folks, and you're going to just listen to my voice. So I don't think I'm going to probably talk for a whole hour tonight. It's late in the game on this. And so I've tried to collect some thoughts on it, try to figure out where I wanted to take this episode. And so here it is. Maybe this will be the first one where we do uncomfortable conversations because frankly, this conversation is going to be uncomfortable. And it'll be the first one I have, and it'll just be with myself, and it'll just be me getting my thoughts out and just kind of composing what I've been feeling the last couple days. So this is being recorded on August 17th, 2021. It'll come out tomorrow on Wednesday. That's when we usually try to record these well in advance, but that didn't happen. So this will be recorded the night before. It'll be scheduled for posts and stuff. So for any of you that are alive and in any way, shape, or form, you know, connected to the world at this point, everybody's aware of what's going on in Afghanistan right now with the U.S. withdrawal, I guess you could call it, or hasty withdrawal. We've all seen the images. We've all seen the things that are occurring. We've all seen what it looks like to see, human beings desperate. So I've tried to do my best over these, and Corey as well. We've tried to keep this as apolitical as possible, but I kind of think that and doing that, and you know, like I've been hiding to some extent. And so I don't want to do that anymore. I want to make my feelings known on this. I think moving forward with a lot of this stuff, I think there's some topics I'd like to cover that I'm going to be pretty forward and pretty blunt about. And so this is one of them. And this is something I feel really strongly about as you've watched this and as we've watched, you know, a lot of stuff occurring. And I'm not fully blaming this current administration for everything leading up to this point. Obviously they didn't have much to do with that, although one of them was vice president during a good portion of this. However, when you're in office, the buck does stop with you, as he said in a press conference recently. But here's what I feel about what is currently going on. And this is going to come like maybe smack some of you right between the eyes. Maybe some of it'll validate some things for some people and whatnot, but you reap what you fucking sow. And this has been a long time coming, and this is not just Afghanistan anymore. This is the state of things when you let feelings and titles and everything override human sensibility. There are things that we have been pushing down the block, kicking the can down the road, if you will, for years and years and years and years. And this, I don't know when it started. I know it was probably about 10 years ago or maybe a little more, maybe a little less. But we've come to a place in point, and we've come to a place in time, and we've come to a place in society where we are so fucking weak that this is what we get, that we leave human beings stranded in the worst fucking possible way. And if you don't believe for a second that horrible things aren't already occurring and will be occurring, you have no idea what the Taliban signifies, what they're capable of, and what they feel. You believe that they are operating on the same level of humanity as you do, and that they play on the same set of rules as you do. And that would be operating on the same assumption and with the same audacity to believe that the Nazis acted the same way that you did, and that communist China and communist Russia and the extermination of millions of people during those time periods, you would believe that those people were operating on the same set of playing field, the same set of rules, the same set of like common human decency that you do. And you couldn't be farther from the fucking truth. The reason that I feel so strongly about this is myself, people that feel the same way as me and live a certain lifestyle the way I do and have been in certain professions that have seen these things coming. You understand where we're getting and where we're getting to this and why something like this could happen when you're run by an administration that has no stomach for a fight, that simply couldn't stand up to anything, couldn't stand up to any pressure. And I'm not saying that just as that there's a whole slew of people that are around that feeble old fuck that really have helped contribute to this. But when you just decide, I put my foot down, we're getting the fuck out of there with no actual plan, no actual regard, no actual thoughts and cares. And I don't even think it's that deep. I watched, I saw, a repost of a tweet by Nancy Pelosi that said something to the effect of, you know, like she's applauding the withdrawal and like challenging the Taliban to realize that the world community is watching. And then I saw something like in the last day or so that I think it's the head of New Zealand or Australia, the prime minister. She said she's imploring the Taliban to consider, you know, human rights and do the right thing as they have taken over Kabul and have now they own the country again. And you are just so fucking ignorant if you really believe that these people give two shits about that or what the world community, like they you have no concept. And I don't, I guess in some regards, I don't blame you. Like, how could you? How could you? And how could I? I'm speaking from a place of huge fucking ignorance on that. I will throw out there that my brother served and is currently serving in the Middle East. And I won't disclose where, but he is currently stationed over there in a obviously gigantic task force. And I am increasingly worried about his safety over there. What started out as a certain mission in a certain place, has morphed into far more than that. And then now with these recent developments, who knows what that morphs into. So, I'm worried on a personal level. I'm worried about the mental health and well-being of him and his colleagues that served in Afghanistan in 2009, I believe it was, in a medevac mission. He was stationed at Bagram Air Force Base for close to a year and was involved in very tragic, heartbreaking, lots of things. And so he was over there, saw these things firsthand, the things he shared with me, what little he has, he shared with me that these people, then this is not to slight them. It's not their fault. It's not, it just is. When I say these things, it's factual. So get bent about it if you want and go fuck off if you want. They're about 150 to 2 years behind the 200 years behind the times. Most of them live in a level of in poverty that you couldn't imagine, but it's not poverty. It's just because like, it's just the way it is. You know, they live in like mud brick buildings when they don't have glass in the windows. Like there's like to say that they're not civilized, and this is in the outskirts, obviously, in the very, very far reaches of Afghanistan. But these people live a primitive life that you can't fucking fathom, that I can't fathom. I try to sit here and picture in my mind what that lifestyle looks like. And obviously in the big cities, it's different. They're bigger. They're more, modern. They've done one of the good things that have come from being there for 20 years is there's been a tremendous investment into everything there. And so life has improved for the general populace, I think, in some places. And my heart breaks for him and his colleagues and for all my friends that have served and have lost friends and loved ones and brothers and sisters in the fight over there. And I sit here and I wonder, you know, will those people realize the things that they've done for others, the things that they have helped and the sacrifices made, was it all for naught? And, you know, I can't answer that question right now. I choose not to answer that question. That is not for me to decide one way or another, but I do look and think that, in the grand scheme of things, was this the best we could do? Was this the most, like, with what we are as a nation, was this our best effort? Is this really what it came to? Was a couple hastily thrown together fucking flights out of here with civilians clinging to the outside and falling to their deaths and being stuck in wheel wells and putting those poor fucking air crews through that thing and packing a plane with as many fucking people as you possibly can, because you know what's in store for them. But what I really want to really touch on even more so than that is this was coming. This has been coming as we get weaker as a society. And when I say weaker, I mean just not having a stomach for unpleasantness, not allowing our kids to feel any discomfort, not allowing ourselves to see anything distasteful or unsavory or uncomfortable. As you do that, you become more numb to the world around you, and you start to realize, and you start to become ignorant to the rest of the world, people that are fighting daily just to fucking survive, that are hoping that they can go to school because they were born in a country where women weren't allowed to do anything, go outside. They were married at 12. Like the heinous shit that is perpetrated by the Taliban is beyond comprehension in the modern world. And yet it's occurring, and it will be occurring. It'll be rolled out for the world to fucking see as they bring the fucking hammer down on the populace here. And I have to blame us all for this, because we all let this weak shit just fucking keep going. We being in law enforcement, sorry, I'm stumbling over my words there. Being in a law enforcement career for the last 20 years, I can say that, you know, and I think probably everybody that's been in that career has remarked on the changes in the times and, you know, it's not the way it was when I started, but I do truly feel that my police generation has really watched some changes that were healthy in a lot of aspects for law enforcement and unhealthy in a lot of aspects. So, you know, when I came into the profession at 1997, in-car cameras were not a thing yet. I think they were just started. They came to my agency after I had been there for a little while, and they were VHS tapes with VCR recorders in the trunk and all the things that came with that. So I was there before the advent of that. And I was before the advent of cellular video recorders. Nobody had video recorders unless, you know, you're like a professional news person running around at night trying to catch shit. And I was there before the as community-oriented policing was just becoming in vogue. It was just becoming a thing, and school resource officers, all of which are a lot, you know, really good things. You know, I'm not opposed to cameras. I'm not opposed to the things that capture officers doing right and doing wrong. And community-oriented policing should always be that way. But what I witnessed happen over that time period is, as administrations started to get weaker, and as the people that were being hired started to get weaker, and as the people that were serving started to get weaker, nobody has a fucking tolerance for unsavory shit. And to put it bluntly, sometimes the job of enforcing laws is unsavory. There are human elements out there, not just criminals. And I'll decipher the two between that. There are criminals in the world. There are people that go out and intend to steal your shit, and, or, you know, some of them are struggling to get by, drug dealers, things like that. That's a criminal element that is out there doing things that are against the law on that given day. Now the laws have changed, and so some of those things aren't against the law anymore. So I'm not here to argue the ethics of, you know, theft and drug dealing and things like that. That's a criminal element out there that's out there doing crimes, crimes against person, and, you know, crimes against property. And we can all argue whether crimes against property really matter. You can really pace your shit, but that's that level of crimes. There's a whole other level of people out there that the average human citizen in a Western culture will never ever experience. Hopefully you won't, but you're all getting a front row seat to it now. You're getting it when it comes to the Taliban. You're getting it when it comes to the graphic display of violence. You are getting to watch evil. You're getting to watch truly evil people. Those are not criminals. I saw a video, I think it came out last week. I think it was in New York. Young lady walks out of a car, walks up to another lady standing on a street sidewalk, and shoots her right in the fucking head. And while that's shocking, we've all seen videos of that a lot. Here's what's more shocking to me, because this is where it's at. That's not a criminal. That's a evil person doing that. I haven't heard the whys or whats or whatever. I don't fucking care. I don't care why that happened. What I watched was this woman do this, which in and of itself is quite shocking in of itself. You know, like most stuff like that is perpetrated by males. You know, I'm not getting into the like pros and cons of all that, but, you know, women as a sex tend to not be as violent as that typically. Obviously that's starting to change as well too. But what shocked me about that was really how she walked away, how she walked up to this person, didn't run, didn't do anything out of the ordinary, was as calm and collected and casual, and shot this person right in the fucking head and walked back to her car. Like literally walked back to her car. And you can watch the video, pull it up. She drove away. She walked back to that car. Like she hadn't done anything. It looked like she just cashed a check. Looked like she like dropped off a fucking donation. Like looked like she had done anything except shoot a fucking human being in the head. And I watched that and just thought, well, there you go. That's evil. That's inhuman. That is not somebody that has the emotions capable of rehabilitation when she's caught, of doing time and coming out as a different person. That the person had no regard for that other human's life for whatever reason that she shot her. And within a matter of days or hours or whatever it was in LA, same thing. There's a young man that was shot in the middle of the street. And from the accounts I read, he came up, there was some sort of a shoe sale, like raffle fucking thing, whatever. Something went awry. The crowd's getting pissed off. This employee shows up there to like help defuse the situation. And somebody fucking smokes him, like literally out of the crowd, just fucking shoots him and walks away. Like you start to see that stuff. And I know this exists. My brothers and sisters that are still in law enforcement, we all know this exists. We see it. We've seen fucking evil. We've seen people with no soul who have no regard for you or your family or your safety. And you don't understand that in the enforcing of laws and the dealing with humanity and not the kind, gentle souls of humanity, but the 2% and then less than a fraction of a percent of that 2% that is evil, that is destructive, that is vengeful, hateful, and truly evil. And until you've seen somebody like that and looked at their face and realized they don't have a regard for you, you can't fathom what it takes to prepare yourself to deal with that. You can't understand what coming into contact with that's like. You can't understand that you're always thinking about and prepared for those people because you know they exist. It's not the soccer mom that gets pulled over and is pissed off at you because she's going to get a ticket for running a red light. It's not the person that's mad because it took you 2 hours to get there to take their purse, theft out of their car thing. It's not arresting a person because they have, you know, drugs in their possession or like all the petty shit that goes on. What you really, really, really have to understand is there's evil out there. There are people that are hell bent on exploiting others and for their evil, nefarious purposes. And the men and women of law enforcement are the line against that. And then, so if I put that into a broader category, that is exactly what the Taliban is over there. And that is what the evil in the world is about. And that is what, you know, I believe that we've spent the last 20 years being in a foreign land that we don't understand and we can't understand and we will never be like, thankfully, and they will never be like us. But all we could do was push back against that evil just a little bit and make some of those people's lives just a little bit brighter and give them the hope that maybe, just maybe, you know, eon down the road, they'll be in a better place. And we simply didn't have the stomach for that anymore. We simply didn't have the ability to do that in any meaningful fashion anymore. And we left them there to fucking rot. And you know, in essence, we defunded Afghanistan. And, you know, like, do I want people like my brother over there in harm's way still? Fuck no, I don't. You know, I don't see the point in it from my small little world view of sitting in my home talking into a microphone right now. I don't see that. But there is a bigger picture there, and there is a bigger thing. And as uncomfortable as the deaths and destruction and ruined lives that have come back from Afghanistan and every way, physical and mental and emotional, I have to believe that it was to push back against evil and to keep evil hiding and on the run and not aware and not comfortable and not safe at any point, and to now allow that evil to come charging back. You all are getting a preview of what's going to happen when you fucking abolish police forces. You are all going to get a preview of what life will be like, and you're seeing it. You cannot deny the statistic. You cannot deny the facts on every major Democrat run city across the nation. Crime is rampant. Shootings are rampant. My wife asked me the other day, we're going to go on a family vacation soon to where she grew up back in Iowa. And she asked me if I want to go visit Chicago. And I said, absolutely fucking not. I don't. And she knows I love New York. I've been there a few times and we haven't been together. And she said, well, but you'd want to go to New York. And I went, the fuck I would. Like, I don't want to go visit LA right now. I won't go down to San Francisco right now. There's nothing. And those are mild in comparison to Chicago and fucking New York. Like, no way will you find me bopping around there, just like seeing the sights and you know, seeing what kind of fucking trouble I can try and avoid. Absolutely not. And that's just, it's rampant. And you're watching what happens when that small pushback against evil is being disregarded, marginalized and attacked on every front. And whether that's a coordinated effort on people's parts, or that's just the way that it, you know, that's the popular news story now, it is the news story. And here's what you're going to get. I know this is coming. Every person that puts on a badge and a gun for the evening knows that it's coming. Anybody that's remotely charged with keeping their community safe knows what's fucking coming with what you all have chosen. When I say you all, we're all complicit in this. We are all part of this. We have not had the conversations with our neighbors that we should have. We have not pushed back against the things we should have pushed back when they were small, when it was giving every kid a trophy because it feels better, and not letting kids get the wrong answer in math class, and not all the small little things that were supposed to bubble wrap your fucking soft little life and keep discomfort and dismay and the real life variability that comes with life. When you've tried to exercise yourself from that, this is what you get. When you stop standing up for the small stuff, when you allow your freedoms to be pushed around with mask mandates and this and constant, just constantly, constantly a barrage of things you're told not to say, not to do, not to feel, not to this. And I'm not talking about like egregious stuff. Nobody likes racists. Nobody likes fucking homophobes. Nobody likes anybody that's like, you know, fuck, I don't even know at this point. No, we'll just put it mildly. Nobody likes dicks at this point. But here's what you get when you want to lead this soft little fucking life. When you bury your head in the goddamn sand, the sand that's been fucking prepped for you and raked, and all of the unpleasantness comes out of the sand. This is what fucking happens to you. This is what happens when you believe that the world is nicer than it is. This is what you're going to get. You can watch what's happening in Afghanistan right now. And sure, that's an extreme parallel to draw. You know, I don't think the criminal element here is as devious and dastardly. That's a word I haven't used in a long time. As dastardly as the Taliban. But if you don't believe evil is evil and, you know, inner city gang members that are intent on erasing each other off the face of the earth as fast as they fucking can. You know, look around, look at what the death count is in Chicago. Look at what the death count is in New York. Senseless fucking violence. They're killing themselves at a rapid pace by the hundreds per year, if not thousands at this point. It's huge. And if you don't think that there's just a small fucking, push back against that, from law enforcement, of people who care, who people want those communities to be better, who grew up in those neighborhoods and don't want them to just be turned over to fucking chaos and violence. If you marginalize that group of people and you encumber them with so much shit that they can't possibly do their job, you will see what's fucking coming. It's coming more and more and more. And here's what I think my big point to this is you're all worried about the violence. And I think this was my point earlier when I was talking about how I've come up through law enforcement and before the rise of video and whether that's good or bad. It's good and it's bad, because here's why. You all get to see the things that we've all known have been there all along. Everybody that's been in law enforcement since the dawn of time has seen man's inhumanity to man. And we all know what it looks like. And we all have been faced with that. And it has, you know, gotten better at times and it's gotten worse at times. And now you all get a glimpse of what that fucking looks like on every surveillance video, on every body worn camera, on any in-car camera, on every cell phone video that people gleefully fucking rip out. And you got 50 people around filming something as though we all don't know what that looks like. What do you think you're proving? You're proving the fact that sometimes the application of law enforcement is unsavory. There's an old saying I heard one time that everybody loves sausage, but nobody wants to see how it's made. Here's the cold, hard fucking reality, folks. There are times when it comes to the application of force and taking criminals into custody and dealing with that criminal / evil element that does not want you to intercede in their objective plans. It's horrifying. It's fucking brutal. Fighting a human being is not a kind, pleasant event. We all are lulled into the fact of, like, we can watch MMA on TV. And even that, you know, we're cleaning them up between rounds. If they get their eye split open, we stop the fight because that's, you know, a little too unsavory. And we obviously don't want them, like, permanently injured, obviously. But, like, as bloody and gory and brutal as that sport can be, it's a fraction of what a real life fucking fight for your life in an alley, in the dark, on the pavement, in a creek bed, what that fucking looks like. It looks nothing like coming up against armed individual who is determined that you will not live another second and you will not impede on their escape from you. You have no idea what that fucking looks like except what's now fed to you in carefully curated snippets of stuff. And we become so desensitized to it since cops all got into our face that we just look at that as though it's a fucking TV show. But what you don't understand when you're watching these TV shows and you're watching these videos is that's a human being on one side trying to take the life of another human being on the other side. And who's evil and who's good, you know, everybody's got their own opinions on that in that space. And depending on what side of the fence you fall on, you may be rooting for one team when I'm rooting for the other team. But here's what I can tell you. There's a man and a woman out there right now driving around, not with their family, putting themselves in harm's way at every second, simply to push back against that evil fucking element and that criminal element as well. That can turn to evil. The long-term pushback for that is that's you know, we'll call it the thin blue line that everybody talks about. That is what is out there, and you've all become so fucking disenfranchised with what life looks like and what that should be, and you have the audacity to sit here and tell people what that should look like. And I'm not talking about, like, there has to be rules for policing. There has to be accountability. There has to be standards. There has to be all of that stuff. I'm a huge proponent for all of that. And I'm the biggest proponent for when somebody steps over that line, they need to get dealt with. They need to get fired. Like, I think that all needs to happen. I don't think we need to cover for each other in covering up crimes and stuff like that that are committed by other officers. And I think that's been a humongous change in time that is beneficial. But what you don't understand is you don't get a say in how that looks. You don't get to decide what is, like, unpleasant and what's not. You don't get to decide, like, I'm okay with this, but hey, you know, when this happened, you now watch it. They pull up any video right now that's going on, and you have multiple bystanders that it's becoming more and more and more prevalent. You now have bystanders who are like commenting and are running, like they're telling you real time how you should be doing your job. And you couldn't fathom for a fucking second what it looks like to do that job. You couldn't do it. You couldn't. I've known a lot of people that couldn't. I know people from my police academy who had no business fucking being there and they got washed out. I know people that passed that academy that will never ever get hired by a police agency, nor should they. I worked with people that came into training and you're like, what the fuck are you doing here? You have no business in this profession. It is not for you. It takes a special kind of human being and it takes a special kind of personality to have a long career in that. And you need those people out there. You need those people that are pushing back against that evil. And as you start to take it away from them, as you start to take away their motivations, their pay, protections from lawsuits for reasons that were put there in the first place. Again, I'm not talking about how holding bad cops accountable. It needs to happen. They need to be like brought to the forefront and made public spectacles of. And we need to do a better job hiring people in the first place. And we need to do a better job during background checks. And we need to do a better job of weeding those motherfuckers out in training when you know they shouldn't be there. But sometimes shit happens and sometimes people slip through the cracks and sometimes people get put in positions where they definitely shouldn't be there. And so when that happens and when they're caught, they need to be like receive the full brunt of the criminal justice system. But in the meantime, when you see things you don't like and when you see things like, I'll be honest with you, if my loved one was having, had a tumor in her brain and I knew that and the doctor was going to go operate, do you think I want to watch a fucking video of what that looks like? Fuck no. I don't want to see what that looks like. I don't want to see them cut the top of her skull off and extract a part of her brain and put probes in there and fucking radiation and other types of heinous shit. I want to walk in after it's all done and see her little bandaged head up and look at that and go, thank you for doing your job. Thank you for having the skills to do that. Thank you for working tirelessly to save my loved one. Even though I know that it was time away from your family, that you probably stood there for hours, that you were uncomfortable, that you doubted yourself, that at some point you weren't sure if this was going to happen and you still had the fucking nerve and audacity to pull that off. I just want to thank that person for doing that and making sure that they did a good job. And if that doctor fucks up and does something wrong and flies outside of the confines of what they were supposed to be doing, I expect them to be dealt with accordingly. The same with law enforcement. But here's what you all have bought, and here's what you all will reap what you sow, is the fact that as we became more and more and more and more sterilized, as we became less and less tolerant of unpleasantries, of words that hurt your feelings, of sights that hurt your feelings, of pictures that hurt your feelings, as you became more and more and more accustomed to just living this fucking milk toast lifestyle, you have put yourself in a position to where you've elected officials that have that same spineless fucking attitude. You have leaders of police agencies. You have leaders of cities. You have leaders of our country. You have leaders in the military who are so abject to fucking fight and to be uncomfortable and to be dismayed over things that are unpleasant to see and but are a byproduct of dealing with the unsavory parts of humanity. So as a whole, as a country, as a Western civilization, as we've bought into this notion that if we're just fucking nice to people, they'll do it back. If we just give them a hand up, they'll take it. If we just possibly want and will and pray and hope that this all fucking goes as we want, you now get to sit and watch along with me as this fucking experiment in Afghanistan unfurls itself and unfolds right in front of our eyes. We all get to collectively see whether our hopes and whether our pleadings with them to please do the right thing. Please don't kill young women and children and men that served alongside of our military. Please don't exterminate people in fucking cities. You all get to see whether this is actually going to happen. Friends like me, people like me, people like my friends, we all know what's coming. We all know what that answer is. And we don't hope for things like that. We don't wish that things will be better. We don't believe that like hope is an actual fucking plan. We have plans to deal with that stuff. We have plans to push back against the evil that may come for us and our families. We have actual bona fide things that we know we're capable of doing should that arise. But what you all get to sit and watch, and what you all get to sit and hope doesn't happen to you, is that they don't come for you. That evil, that unrest, that incivility that is starting to creep farther and farther out, what you can all fucking hope for is that they don't come for you, and that you sit behind your fucking door and hope that it doesn't get kicked in by somebody that's fucking meaner and more evil than you could ever fucking imagine. That's what you get to sit and wait for. That's what you get to sit and hope against. And you get to fucking tell yourself this feel good story that you made it all better with all of the things that you've done with this little social experiment that we're all going to go through together. You get to decide who's going to come out on the right side of that. Me and my friends know where we're going to stand on that. We get to sit back and go, you're going to get to see some stuff. One of my buddies just texted me and said, you know, I think this is going to be the end for that administration. I'm like, no, I think it's going to get worse. I think it's going to get way worse before it gets better. I think this is like a huge, huge fucking blow to it. It's just going to be like, just failure on a whole other level to watch, but I don't think it's the end. I think violence has to come more. I think instability has to reach people that are still holding on to that hope that this is all okay, that this is acceptable, this is how change looks and all that stuff. I think you people need to feel what it feels like to be scared, to wonder how you're going to protect your family, to wonder how this is all going to fucking make it. You all got a little fucking dry run of this when toilet paper started getting pulled out. You know, when we all ran out of toilet paper and chicken last year at the beginning of this COVID nonsense, you all got a fucking preview of what it could look like and whether you were prepared or not. And I think a lot of people looked themselves in the mirror and were like, I am in no way, shape or form, but it was uncomfortable for a week. You know, you didn't have as much toilet paper as you really hoped. And so, you know, it all worked out okay. But in the end, I believe this is going to get worse. I believe that in the process of telling law enforcement that you cannot dole out violence as needed to combat violence, I think what you're doing is you're actually pushing it down the road, and people are going to have to get hurt more. Instead of somebody getting punched in the face and taken into custody, they're going and it's now becoming like shootouts and big fights, and people are screaming down the freeway and because they ran away from the cops when it could have been handled with something that was probably unpleasant and probably unsavory to watch. Like watching, there's another video I just watched the other day. I probably watched too many videos. One of the problems. Young man, they know he's armed. They're fighting with him to take him into custody, knowing that he has a gun in his waistband that he's still trying to get out of his waistband as they're fighting with him to not do that. Now, whether or not they should have used a higher level of force or not, one of the officers starts punching him in the face, and that bystander crowd, that like on scene judge and jury that are telling them how to do their job as they all collectively film this thing, they're all up in arms about this person being punched in the face because he is trying to get a gun out while they are fighting with him. I don't know about you folks, but like, you know, put me in that situation and I'd rather take a punch to the face than what the alternative is, which is deadly force, shooting that person so they no longer constitute a threat to those people present, officers and bystanders, should that person produce this gun. So while this is unsavory and while the local politicians had a lot to say about how terrible that looks, yeah, it looks fucking terrible. But you know what it looks better than? Somebody unholstering and fucking smoking that person right in front of the crowd because they know he's trying to get a gun out to shoot them. That's what fucking is unsavory. So if you can't tolerate somebody getting punched in the face because they're trying to pull a gun out and do harm to others, what possibility do we all have of getting through this together? No, I don't want that person to be punched in the face, but that person's making choices on everybody else's behalf. He very clearly had the ability to just say, you got me. I got a gun on me. I'm going to put my hands behind my back. I'm going to face the music. I'm going to deal with whatever comes in my situation for even possessing this gun. And I'll take that. No, I'm going to do this thing. And I know this crowd's going to stand here and back me. And I know that I'm going to be in a space where like I could come out on the better end of this because I got punched in the face while I was trying to pull a gun out. You see this over and over and over and over and over again. What's the alternative? What's the alternative to that person getting punched in the face? Here's the alternative. The police not being there in the first place. Simply not being there. That's fine. He's got a gun on him. Yeah. Call us when he leaves. We're not going to go deal with it. Like, why? Why put yourself in that position? Why put yourself in the position where if you punch him in the face, you're wrong. If you shoot him, you're wrong. I sure as shit don't want to get shot. So, count me out for that one. What do you have left? Give me options. Tell me how you see this being resolved in a different way. I'm all ears. The fact that, yeah, we'll go down the gun control issue one of these other days. So that's my rant. That's what I wanted to get off my chest. That's the most cohesive thoughts that I could put together as something that I have experience doing and something that where I see some parallels as I sit and watch with the rest of the world as this Afghanistan debacle just unfolds and we all get to just watch. And I think at the end of the day, it's one of the most profound things for me to watch is the fact that, like I said, I have no personal skin in the game other than my family member being over there at some point and friends of mine and then people I know that have suffered loss via that route. And as I sit and try to process what I'm watching and I think I couldn't imagine being so certain of my fate that I'm willing to climb onto an airplane and try to hold on to it as it takes off into the sky. And I knowing that I'm most likely going to fall to my death, but I'd rather choose that than staying behind knowing what's coming down the fucking road. That's what I've been trying to process. That's what I think we're all trying to wrap our heads around. And maybe I'll riff on this topic some more with some other things I have thoughts on, but that's just what I want to get off my chest tonight. So that is going to be my first official just me podcast thing. So again, I really can't thank Corey enough for getting me set up on this, getting us where we've been. And we'll keep at this, folks, and hopefully get better with each one. Thanks again.